Appearances. Appearances. This is Dr. Herbert Albarelli, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. And we have our instant inspiration twice a day. But right now we have our thought for today. And our thought for today is appearances. Yes. I've just had the gracious, rare, and beautiful privilege of editing The Art and Science of Wholeness. I wrote the book back in 1975 as the lead book for the courses of the University of Healing, and since that time it has done marvels. And I often thought, well, perhaps it should be upgraded to be where everything is today. And as I reread the book, as I proofed it, and as I made slight changes here and there, I realized it was far deeper, far more impactful than I had even believed it to be at the time I wrote it. Because at the time I wrote it from the point of view of people just starting out in metaphysics, just starting out in the I am God concept, just starting out realizing who they are and what they are and where they're going. And as I read different chapters, I read about appearances and appearances and appearances, and I thought, my goodness sakes, life is really just appearances. It's just a series of appearances. Now, we have one of our students, a very lovely lady, and she was taking us out to dinner at a very nice restaurant up in Encinitas or someplace like that, near La Jolla in California here, very lovely area. And we went to this restaurant right on the ocean. And she said, it is good food here. It is wonderful food here. She had been there with her relatives and had a very wonderful time there. So we went in there, and as we were eating, the waiter was an exceedingly thoughtful, courteous, fine young man. And both Sylvia and myself were thinking, oh, we know that guy. We know him. And so finally it dawned on us. Yes, we did. We had just seen him in a movie. And it was called
Kate and Leopold.
Kate and Leopold. And he looked just like Leopold. He acted like Leopold. He was just the ultimate of a gentleman. And I was so surprised when I came to that realization. I said, do you know, sir, you look just like Leopold. He said, who's Leopold? I said, well, Kate and Leopold are a movie that is quite good. And it's about this gentleman who was a duke back in the 1800s. And his grand nephew in the 1980s went back to visit him unexpectedly as he popped through the time warp. And then he brought back Leopold, his great uncle, with him. And his great uncle was not necessarily out of place. He perhaps would have been out of place in the 1800s too. But he was a gentleman. A pure gentleman and a pure, well-brought-up person. And this fellow, as I was explaining it to him, he said, wow, that sounds good. I'll have to go see that, you know? And I said, not only you act like him, but you look like him. And he was quite pleased. Of course, I'll never know whether he has gone to see Kate and Leopold. I'm sure he has. But it was an appearance. Now, we saw the movie several times, and we were delighted with him. He was just a purely beautiful being, respectful, honorable, normal, wonderful, in every wonderful way of saying about it. And we saw him there in that restaurant. Now, we knew it wasn't Leopold. He didn't have that funny suit on that he was wearing in the movie. But he did look like Leopold. He had his attitudes and everything. Perhaps it down to the nitty-gritty, he might not have passed the test, but on the surface, he was very good. In the appearance, he was very good. Well, we had our student with us, and we went to get some chocolates at a special chocolate factory. And as we came out of the chocolate factory, we were coming by Starbucks, a coffee shop, and she was taking a piece of chocolate and stepping gingerly and missed a step and went, flew down two steps, landing on her knee. Now, she's 86 years old, and she's quite a girl. And at that moment, there were a herd of motorcyclists nearby at the street, and they saw this. And several of the toughy young fellows came running over, "Can we help you? Can we help you?" And out of Starbucks ran two of the waiters, and they said, "Here's some water and some ice, and here's some coffee, and, you know, and things like that." And everybody was helping her up into the chair. And a chair, yeah, and a table, and right in the middle of the walkway there. And it was just really quite a drama. Well, now, she hit her side of her face on the pavement and busted her glasses. She bumped her elbow, she bumped her this and bumped her that. And I mean, you know, when you're 86 and you go around bumping yourself like that, oftentimes things happen. But we immediately put the cause in motion, so that the appearance was as nothing. It was sort of a show. It was a drama. We said, "You're Holmberg, you're Holmberg." And she looked up at us with that beatific look on her face and said, "Yes." And so she stood up and she took the chair and sat down and took the water and then began to blot the areas where she had bruised herself a little bit. And we were all there being nurses and doctors for her, just having a grand old time. Well, after she was ready to get up, which was maybe about 10 minutes or so, we put the furniture back and walked her to the car. She was limping a little bit, but she said, I'm all right. You know, she's just walking along. And so we got to the car, and we said, "You know, we really should take you over to the emergency ward and have them look at that, at least, you know, at your knee. Because we wouldn't want your knee to be in an improper way." And she says, "Well, if you wish." She says, "I have this insurance, that insurance, and I have this card and that card." And she was going through her card. I said, "Hey, that's the last thing we're concerned about. Right now I want to get you over there. Have you checked?" So we took her over, and everybody checked her, and she was just fine. She did have a swollen knee where she had bumped it. But no bones broken, nothing out of line, nothing damaged except for just a little trauma to her knee. But she liked to play the game. She had me from 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I believe it was, until 2 o'clock in the morning, in her special room where they were not waiting on her, where they had her in emergency treatment, but nobody saw her. And the doctor did come in and roll her out and took an x-ray and then brought her back and so forth. But then at 2 o'clock, the doctor came in and he says, "Well, now, what do we have here?" And she said, "Well, my knee is rather swollen." And so they thought I was her husband or something because, you know, they just had me around. And so he says, "Well, now, we can take the fluid off there that has built up with the bruise, or we can just leave it and it'll go away naturally. If we leave it so it goes away naturally, you won't be able to walk on it for a few days. If we take the fluid off right away, it will heal almost instantly and you should have a use of your leg right away." And so she said, "Well, take it off." So they came out with these needles, 10 feet long, you know, and they stuck it through her knee and they went into here and pulled out this fluid and just gallons of it, you know. At least it seemed like 33 cc's, I think he said. But, you know, they pulled it all out. And then she moved her leg back and forth. She says, "Oh, yeah, it works good now." And so then they fixed her up with the crutches and walker and everything else under the sun and wheelchair. And they said, "You know, you can't leave a hospital unless you're in a wheelchair or something." And so we took her out. And then she lives upstairs in a very steep staircase going up to her apartment, and alone. And so, well, what can we do? We can't leave her alone while she's recuperating. And so we brought her up here to the ranch. Well, we told her, now you got to do everything we do. You got to go into the jacuzzi, you got to go into the swim mix, you got to take the walks, and you got to do these things. And she did her best. And she did very good. The illusion was that this 86-year-old woman was shook up. But the reality was she was whole and perfect, and she was fantastic. Now, she had all these gadgets. She had the wheelchair and the crutches and the walker and all that stuff. And she would forget them all the time. She'd forget them because she really didn't need them. But then she'd use them because she wanted to remind us that she'd like to stay here longer. And she was just having a good old time up here at the ranch. And we gave her one of the golf carts to drive around in, and then Ellen would drive her around, and Sylvia and Ingeborg would drive her around. And of course, Sylvia and Ingeborg hadn't had a chance to be a mother for a long time. And so they mothered this lovely lady, bringing her her special teas, bringing her her special this's and that's. And she just sat there drinking it up like crazy, you know, living alone as she was for so many years. And now all of a sudden to be waited on hand and foot in paradise was quite a wonderful thing. Well, finally she said, you know, I can't do this anymore. I'm really okay to go home. And I should go home, pay the bills, I should do this and that. So I took her home. And I took her to her apartment house. And she wouldn't let me go up to her apartment. I had been up there several times with her, but she wouldn't let me go up there. She says, take me into the recreation hall. And I said, but I got all your bags here in my arms. I can just take them right on up. She says, no, 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 put them in here. She says, I want the boys to each come and help me carry up some of these things, because I want to hear the latest news, and I want to know what's going on. And if I don't have this as an excuse, I'm not going to hear it for a long time, you know. And this way, they'll just baby me, and they'll take care of it. I said, oh my goodness, you are an actress, you know. You love the appearances. She sure loved the appearances. And she played them to the hilt. And then Ellen went to see her afterwards, and she said, just a minute, Ellen. And she dashes out and jumps in her Jeep and rips around the corner with the Jeeps and drift, drift, drift here and drift, just like she's a teenager, you know, and just having a ball. You, the appearances, 86 years old, you think that she would be, you know, a little more sedate and a little more reserved, but not our Dorothea. And another thing. Dorothea told us her name was Dodie, D-O-D-Y. She loves the word Dodie. She thought Dodie was a wonderful name, but she made a mistake. She came into my world, and in my world, I teach people to respect their names, to respect the name that they were given, that they were born, actually they chose when they were born. And I told them to respect that and live it, because the name has great dignity and meaning to it, whatever the name may be. And so I said, what is your name? She said, it was on the papers that she had signed, Dorothea Ruth Zimmerman. And I said, Dorothea? Wow. You're a queen. You're a princess. You're regal. And Ruth, my goodness, Ruth from the Bible, one of the greatest stories the Bible has ever had. And you're not taking privilege of wearing those names and living them and having the appearances. I said, you want to be a Dodie that goes around an old toughy and stuff, or do you want to be a queen that goes around and has all the world recognize how wonderful? Oh, you know, it was difficult to leave Dodie behind, but in a way she left Dodie behind. We didn't. We kept falling into the trap of calling her Dodie out of habit, but she left it behind. Now, you see, the appearances are that she's a Dodie. And she's just an ordinary person, nice person, but a Dodie. You know, like when your mother or father calls you and she'll say, Sylvia, Sylvie, wasn't that the gentle name, Sylvie? That was your diminutive name.
Sylvie.
Huh? Sylvie, come, it's time for Sylvie. And then, Sylvia, get in here now. And when she said your name correctly and fully, you knew there was no chance for you to fool around any longer. You got in there right away. And Stefan, what did your parents call you? Just always Stefan? I'm sure they had some other names for you.
Yeah, my mother had sometimes Steffi.
Steffi. Yeah, Steffi. So when she was calling you Steffi, you knew that everything was going smooth. But when your mother would say, Stefan, I believe we want to talk. Or something of that nature. The appearances change just by using a different word. And this is what we do with our life. This is what we do. Ingeborg has been going around here like the wreck of the Hesperus, and we've taken her into every doctor and had her checked out, and they haven't found anything wrong with her. And so now she wants to go in this morning, and she's being checked over again. And I don't want to say I hope they find something wrong with her so they can make it right and she'll be over it, but I would like to see her through with that little attitude. And yesterday, Ellen took Button in because Button had been a little bit lackadaisical around the house and not his total perfect self all the time. And the doctor, it was a second doctor that had looked at him, and his regular doctor was busy. The dog has second doctor, you know. And so his regular doctor was busy. But the doctor looked at him and checked him and checked him. He took the stethoscope all over him and checked. He said, he's in perfect health. He said, but we can spend a little more money. We can do another test and take some blood and check it out. And so we'll let you know tomorrow how that is. Well, now that'll be perfect too. But the thing is, these appearances, we empower these appearances. When we see someone acting sadly or unkindly, we immediately say that's reality. And it's not reality. It's not reality. When Pollyanna went to her Harrington town, she found it to be a very sad town, especially on Sunday. And she was very unhappy with it for being that way, but she really didn't pay attention to it because she had her happy time inside of herself. And she spread her pixie dust all over that town until that whole town changed into a very loving, gentle, caring town. Well, now, we can do that ourselves. We can do that ourselves with every circumstance that comes our way. And today we'll be having a couple circumstances that we'll be looking at. And so how are we going to approach them? Are we going to approach them that all is in divine order? Are we going to approach them that there is no problem? Ain't nothing the matter, nothing ain't the matter. Remember that one? You know? Or are we going to approach it, oh my God, my God? No. We approach all circumstances in life as the master. We do not carry tales. If we hear things and we know things, we do not carry those tales further because they are of no benefit to anybody or anything. And what are facts. If you're speeding and you get a ticket, you got a ticket. If you're speeding and you didn't get a ticket, you didn't get a ticket. You're not going to say, hallelujah, I didn't get a ticket. You're just going to say, oh boy, I got to be a little more careful. You know? So, the appearances, we have to be very careful about them. Because the appearances can be overwhelming, and people can allow themselves to be overwhelmed by them. However, if we know the truth, and we live by the truth, we will always have a very happy, harmonious, joyous, and a wonderful life that will always be fulfilled in every way. Appearances? Think about it. Don't let them be controlling your life. Don't let them be controlling your experiences. Don't be a Dodie when you could be a Dorothea. Don't be a Steffi when you could be a Stefan. Or a Sylvia. Sylvie. When you can be a Sylvia, and so forth. Because we are not controlled, owned, possessed, directed, in any way by appearances. We go by the reality, which is always perfect and in divine order. So with that, have a lovely day, and I will too.
Thank you.
20 minutes and 13 seconds. Not bad.
Yeah, yours is a good topic. You can